Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I have noticed in these verses some wonderful words. Length of days, peace, mercy, favor, good understanding. I like that. These are words that describe things I long for. These are words that describe things that we need. And he talks about obtaining these things, of getting these things, of gaining these things, of having these things. If he says we can have these things, I want to listen to him. I want to hear how he tells me what I need to do to get these things, to gain these things. I suppose that he would say, well, you got to really make sure that you have your own will. That's what the world would say. To try and make sure that you do things that please yourself. To have some time for you. To put yourself first. To just do as you please. And if you do those things, you will have peace and you will have happiness. I'll add that word. That's a summary of all that I've mentioned. As long as everything goes your way, then you'll be happy. You'll have these things. As long as you make sure that you don't let people bother you. All those things I could suggest that may be the way that we obtain these things, but I would be wrong. For God tells us how we can obtain these things. I have mentioned some of the words that I find in these verses. I want to mention one word that seems like it's out of place. It is a word that is unexpected to me. In seeing the things I've mentioned, length of days, peace, mercy, favor, good understanding, in other words, being happy, being glad, being at peace of mind. If I think about all those things, I would think, do it the way you want to. Live your life the way you want to. But there's another word, unexpected word. It's the last word in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. What? Didn't God really say that? Did he mean what he said? And the answer is yes. He says the way we can have these good things that he has mentioned in these verses, things we all desire, want, and need, and many times lack, is to not live life our way, but to live life His way. Even the word commandment sounds negative. It is not a suggestion. It is not a recommendation. You can go to the doctor, he can recommend some things, he can suggest some things that may work. But him commanding you is different. And God says, I do not recommend anything, I do not suggest. These are my commands. Commandment automatically makes me think I am in bondage. I have to do it. God leaves me no lead way. Those things, if anything, are negative and contrary to the things I've mentioned, like length of days, peace, mercy, favor, good understanding. But he says that's how you get these things. By keeping my commandments. I want to try and look at this thought. What a strange place to find a blessing. What a strange place to find a blessing. He no doubt in these verses talk about blessings more than one type. But he also says, if you want these blessings, here's how you get it. Do what I tell you to do. What a strange thing. Another way we can look at this thought is called biblical living. Living according to the Bible. God says, if you want good things, do what I tell you to do. I think about the people of Berea that search the Scriptures daily, my words, to find out for sure, did Paul and Silas tell us the right thing? To make sure those things were right. They realized that preachers preaching would be, could be, maybe, hopefully are, the voice of God to be listened to be accepted, to be obeyed. But they also realized that them being men, Paul, Silas, others, they could be wrong. So they searched the Scripture. I could use it like this. They looked at what God had commanded in the Bible. To find out, is what they said what God said? We need to be like the people of Berea. There's no doubt there's preachers, teachers, there's other Christians who talk about what God said. But we also need to realize, like the Bereans did, sometimes people, even though they do not desire and do not intend to and do not intentionally do it, they're wrong, they make mistakes. So we need what the Bereans needed. They respected the Scripture. They knew that the Bible was God's Word. Those commands, that word command, summarizes the Bible. What God says, what God tells us to do and not do, His commands. We find that in the book we have in our lap tonight, what God says. And the Bereans realized and they had a respect for the Word of God as it was the Word of God, not of man. And that's why we need to look at the book we have as God speaking to us. He is commanding us through this Scripture. We need to respect it and honor it. It is not just another book. We even talk quite often working in the library about different books. There are thousands of books in every library, but there's no book like this book. It is different. It should be respected. The Bereans respected it, and so should we. I'm talking about his commands, how we get the blessings that he mentions and more. The Bereans respected the Scripture. They also received the Scripture. They, knowing it was God speaking, they listened and accepted it as a guide to their life. It was their rule book. It was their map. It was their love letter. It was a message from home. They received it and read it as though it was God speaking directly to them, for it was, and by the way, it is tonight. That book is God speaking to you and me. We should receive it as thus. We should accept it. This is God's message to me. He has a right to command me. They respected the Scripture. They received the Scripture. They also researched the Scripture. I've already mentioned, they searched it to find out if these things were so. These preachers that they respected, these preachers they knew that walked with God, these preachers that they believed to be under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit of God, they realize they are still man. And men can make mistakes, and this is too important to just take the word of man. I'm going to research the Bible myself and find out, is this really what God says? You ought to do the same. I do not want to make a mistake. I try not to make a mistake. But they respected, they received, they researched the Scripture. They want to make sure what I believe is right. What I believe is God's Word. So they search out the Word to make sure. Do that yourself. The Bereans were the type that respected and received and researched, but they also responded to the Word of God. They listened to what God said and responded to His voice. What He told them to do, they did. What the Scripture said, they believed. They did what the Bible says to do. They were doers of the Word and not hearers only. And since He said, if you want a blessing, if you want these good things I have mentioned in these first few verses of Proverbs 3, if you want those things, I'll tell you how to get them. You do what I say. We didn't know what He said. He said it in Scripture. Oh, listen. God speaks to us. This is not something new. Back in Deuteronomy 26, verse 16, this day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments, that thou shalt therefore keep them and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. He said, these things I command. Again, I am not suggesting or recommending. I am not talking to hear myself speak. I mean what I say. And when I tell you to do something, do it. And when I tell you not to do something, don't do it. And then you will receive a blessing. I mentioned these things in my feeble attempt to help us to realize how important it is to listen and obey God's commandments. I call it biblical living. Biblical living. Could I explain that a little further? Biblical living explained. What do I mean by obeying His commands? If we are to understand what we're talking about, we need to explain what we're talking about. I guess we understand that. The what of biblical living? The what of keeping His commandments? What do I mean? Well, what is this thing of keeping His commandments? It's so easy to say. It's so easy to let it roll off our tongues. But we need to realize the world has its rules. You know what a command is, right? Keep the rule. Do what I told you. And the world has its rules. It has wicked and selfish and self-made rules that they go by. Some of their rules are so ridiculous that they say there are no rules. Nobody has a right to tell you what to do. Nobody lives in your body. Find your own truth, which is idiotic. That's the truth. So what do I mean by biblical living? What do I mean by obeying the Lord? You see, a Christian, a believer, which we are if you're saved, has different guidelines. We measure by a different ruler than the world does. We measure by this Bible. Our guidelines is God's word and God's command. Some people would call it old-fashioned Christian beliefs and convictions. That's what I think the Bible says. It's just where God says, this is what I want you to do. It is us allowing the Bible to tell us what is right and wrong. It is us letting God say that is right and that is wrong. I think that's a good thing. It is saying how should we live, and it's this, in a way that will honor and please God to do what He says. It is living in a way that, I'm talking about biblical living, I'm talking about doing His commands. I'm talking about finding this blessing that He promises us in this very unique way of doing what He says. And that is this, living the way He says in a way that will honor Him, please Him, and also be in harmony with people. Whoa! What a big order. What a big thing to try to accomplish, to even imagine it's possible. I say it is. You see, the Bible tells us, the Bible teaches that God is interested in our actions, our attitudes, our appearance, and even our amusement. He is concerned about our actions. That's easy. That's what we do. I have talked the whole time so far about what we do or don't do. It matters to Him. And since it matters to Him, it really ought to matter to me and you. He is concerned about our actions. He is also concerned about our attitude. Our actions deal with what we do or do not do. Our attitude deals with why we do what we do or don't do. Our attitude deals with why. You see, God not only wants us to do right, He wants us to do right for the right reason. And the best of reasons, the goal He has, is for us to do right because we love Him. We want to please Him. We don't want to hurt Him. That deals with our attitude. He is concerned about our actions and our attitude. He is also concerned about our appearance. I'm talking tonight about doing what God said, keeping His commands. Well, what does He say? Well, He says, I'm really concerned about your actions, what you do. I'm really concerned about your attitude, why you do it. I'm really concerned about your appearance, what you look like, why you're doing it. He really is concerned. I'm talking about these commands go further than just a surface thing. It goes deep in choosing the king, the future king. God told Nathan, don't look on his appearance. Some have used that, abused that, misunderstood that, and said, God don't care what you look like. God don't care how you dress. Well, that's not what He's saying. He has said, do not look on the stature of man. Don't try and find somebody strong and mighty and authoritative. You look for the man I point out. It's not his appearance I'm looking for, because I can use a shrimp like Paul. Or a teenager like Joseph, or a little man like David. But God is concerned about appearance. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Man sees what we look like. God sees why we look like what we look like. Man sees what we wear. God sees why we wear it. It deals with His commands. It deals with what He's interested in. It deals with what He's interested in our hearts. God is concerned with our actions and our attitude and our appearance. Is He even concerned about our amusements? We do not have a God who never wants us to smile. We do not have a God who never wants us to enjoy ourselves. Always stern and hard and harsh. Oh, God's not pleased with that. God wants us to enjoy ourselves. God enjoys us having a good time. But the only thing is, He wants to make sure that our good time is not an ungodly time. He is concerned about that. He says, often we'll look at that. Don't go into the world to get your pleasure. Hate the world and the things that are in the world. He wants us to enjoy ourselves. He wants us to appreciate. He wants us to be amused along the way to heaven. But He wants to make sure that our joy and our pleasure comes from things that please Him. And I'm telling you tonight, that's exactly what I'm saying. The way we get peace and mercy, the way we get all the things that are mentioned in these first few chapters of Proverbs 3 is to keep His commandments. I'm telling you, I know by experience, the greatest joy a person can have on earth is to be saved and be right where God wants them. When God comes by and touches your heart and bubbles you over, there is no joy that the world can offer like that. There is no pleasure, there is no delight, there is no amusement like that. When that saint is right where God wants them, doing what He says to do. And God is interested in that. So I deal first with what is biblical living? Doing that God wants to do in the way that God wants us to do it. And looking and living and acting and talking like God wants us to do. Let me mention number two. The who of biblical living, which is keeping His commandments. Not only the what does it mean, keep His commandments? The who. Who exactly is under the authority and the guidelines of the Bible? Who in this world falls under the authority of this book we have? It may shock you. I hope it doesn't. I hope in your mind you have already come to this conclusion, but here's the answer. Everyone. Everybody on earth is under the authority of the Word of God that you've got in your lap. Now, we've got the English version, and there's some that's going to be Spanish, and there's going to be the Russians and all that. I'm not talking about that. God's Word is over all in this world. Whether we go to Wall Street, to the executive office, San Francisco, to the slums, or Africa, where the native is, nobody is out from under the authority of this Word. It is for all mankind. That is a big statement, but a biblical statement. For some of those, as you well know, have never even heard of a Bible. That's a completely different subject. But the fact that they have not heard this Bible makes very clear, does not mean they are not accountable to God. That is very big, and that ought to convict us of our shortcoming as far as witnessing. For they don't know, it's because somebody has not told them. That falls on God's people. But this Bible and its guidelines and His commandments, every person alive, every person who has ever lived or ever will live, has the responsibility of honoring God. What a mind-boggling but true statement. But I go a little further. I'm talking now about the who of biblical living. Who is responsible to do what he said, to keep his commandments? Everybody, including the person who had a bad upbringing. Our law system today, unwisely, I will use a nice word, a more gentle word than I could, believe if somebody has not been brought up right, if they have not all had the best of the best, and there are tragic, no doubt, stories of upbringing of people and children. But our world now, so many says the woke mentality and the liberal mentality says if they've had a bad upbringing, they do not need to be held responsible for what they do. And the person that broke into the curb market and shot that person because he had a bad upbringing should have a lesser sentence or no sentence. I say that is not biblical. Everybody, no matter what their environment, is still responsible to God's commands, and God's commands are not slack. They are not watered down. That is hard, but it's true. I said before, God is a good judge, and a good judge will hand out justice no matter what, and that's what God does. I go further. I'm talking about the who of biblical living. Who is responsible to do God's commands? Everybody. Everybody in the world. Everybody who's even had a bad upbringing or a difficult background that can definitely affect your thinking and your actions, but not excuse them. But also the person who has had a bad day. I have heard more than one time from somebody you would not even guess if you could. They are not here. They're in heaven. Well, they've just had a bad day. They aren't feeling good. To explain some very violent behavior. Well, they just had a bad day. Well, we all have bad days, but that does not excuse us from keeping His commandments. The who of biblical living, all of us, no matter what, even if we have bad circumstances. So I say, no matter what country, no matter what culture, no matter what circumstance, everybody is under the authority of God's commandments. By the way, He is the creator of all things. And since He is the creator of all things and is over all things, He has a right to say, that ain't right. And He also has a right to say, do it my way. And He does. It's up to us to acknowledge that and obey, or displease Him and miss His blessings. We are in the day of rights. Everybody except Christians have their rights. There's black rights, and there's women's rights, and there's human rights, and there's animal rights, and there's gay rights. As though, because I am a member of this particular group, I have a right to do as I please. Well, that ain't what God said. In fact, mankind, get this, has no rights. God has a right to tell us, that ain't right, that's wrong, do this, don't do that, because He's God. He's the one that created it all. Oh, I'm trying to find what to leave out. Since I've got about 10 more pages, I'm going to leave out a lot. The standard that God gives in the Bible, the rules that He lays out, the commands that He gives, right, wrong, this is right, this is wrong, those things that we find in the Bible are a reflection of Him. I mean by that, they reveal His holiness. but they also reveal His love. They reveal His holiness. Do this, don't do that, because He is holy. And He cannot excuse wrong. And by the way, He cannot not bless right. So the things, the commands, the words in the Bible, the rules we find in the Bible, are a reflection or a revelation of who and what God is. They reveal to us He's holy, but they reveal to us He's love. Because He says, if you'll do what I tell you, I'm going to bless you. I want to bless you. Now, there's a lot more to be said about that that I don't have time tonight. But it is God showing Himself as being who He is when He tells us what to do. I've got to stop there. What a strange place to find a blessing. This Bible is not the warden barking out commands to the prisoners. It is not the master whipping the slaves when they don't behave. It is a love letter to an undeserving person from a God who loves in ways we cannot comprehend, telling us, I love you. And I'm telling you, if you want my best blessings, here's how you do it. Do what I tell you to do. Father, thank you. Oh, God, help us to believe this. Thank you, Lord, for putting it in the Bible to help us. Help us to do like the Bereans. Oh, God, help us to respect this book and know it's from you. To love it, to let it live through us, to respond to it, to obey you, to search it out daily. Give us a hunger for your word to know it, a burning desire to do it. And Lord, as we do and you bless us, help us to be thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.